I tell you what, we're going to go right into our next thing here. We'll probably take our break in between the things that we're going to do with our senior editor of FDH, Jason Jones. Jason, good to have you on, buddy. How are you?
All right.
As I've explained to our other dignitaries here tonight, Mike and Ryan, this next thing we're going to do, you were going to be joining us for our college football bowl draft, but I wanted to do a little something before that. It was an idea that just came to me last night. You never know when these moments of inspiration are going to hit you off here. You and I just happened to be, we were talking on the phone. We were both looking at a YouTube video of John Wall and just marveling at everything that this guy is able to do. It does seem to me that physical specimens like this come along, but, you know, once in a generation, if that. I'll tease by saying that I think we have some dissenting thoughts coming up here on the myth, the wonder, and the legend of John Wall. The dissenting thoughts won't be coming from me, but I'd like you just to lay it out, because it was your thoughts last night that made me think we should do a segment on this. Some of the comparisons that you've made in your head, some of the things that basically go through your head when you see the various capabilities of this man.
Well, the relatively ironic, funny part is I'm still watching John Wall right now. Actually getting ready, because they're going to tip off, I believe, in about an hour and change here with Kentucky-UConn. I want to preface anything I say here, because people are going to automatically take it that I'm exaggerating or contributing to the hype. I just want to reiterate the fact that when it comes to guards like this, I've got a relatively good track record. Rick, you'll recall that as we prepared for draft day, I believe it was 05, if I'm not mistaken, and I said to some conjecture that Chris Paul would not only be the best point guard in the draft, but he'd be the best point guard in the league within 3 years. And I think it's safe to assume that that's true.
You were right.
So as I continue to watch this kid, and you're not going to see it tonight. Let's just make that very clear. So far in this young season, he's been a little prone to turnovers, and the coach even mentioned that earlier today on ESPN. But in a word, the guy is sick. I mean, you mentioned that these type of athletes generally only come around once a generation. And as strange as it may seem, I believe that as you continue to speak on this end of the decade show that's coming up soon, I think that in the next even 5 years, we'll be able to look back and say 10 years back from that point that we have seen a once-in-a-generation athlete at each specific position. Meaning LeBron James at small forward, Dwight Howard at center, so on and so forth.
Well, I know you're very high on Blake Griffin, too.
Yeah, so much so that on at least 10 of my fantasy basketball teams, I am willing to keep him on the bench and just wait it out. I really like him. I think he's more of a small forward, power forward tweener. But we'll have to wait and see on that. On Wall, you can't put him in a category, just like you can't put LeBron in a category. There is no one guy he compares to, which, to be honest, is why I think he's so great. Let's just jump right into it so I can get that part out of the way. Instinctually, in the way that he handles the ball specifically, the way he sees the floor, I see a lot of Chris Paul there, and I don't want people to confuse the fact that I'm saying he's Chris Paul because he's not. Chris Paul is almost a throwback to the original concept of the point guard, and that's odd because he still scores with great ease. But John Wall is going to be more of a scorer than a pure point guard, but he sees the floor in a similar fashion, and he has instinctual handles. And what I mean by that is, when you watch him dribble, especially when he goes into a crowd, it's not premeditated at first. He reacts to the defender's movement, which is impressive all by itself. But what's even more impressive is once the defender makes that initial reaction, he then becomes premeditated, and a lot of times, especially in the high school footage, keeping this a family show, he messes with them. He makes guys fall. He makes guys buckle. And that's something you don't see in all the point guards in the league right now. So with the Chris Paul part, we can move away to the scoring aspect, and I will say potentially, ceiling-wise, he is a Dwayne Wade-type scorer. He can shoot the ball. He can finish like nobody's business. He's filthy around the basket. And one other comparison I just thought of just recently that some people might find odd, try not to think of the Sean Kemp that played for Cleveland, but think more about the Sean Kemp that played in Seattle in their minor glory days with Gary Payton and Detlef Schrempf. And you remember the thunderous types of dunks that he has. John Wall has that now. The ability to catch the ball as it flies off the back iron of the rim with his fingertips and throw it down like a big man, which another thing you don't see a lot from guards. But I think the biggest telling thing here, and this is another thing that I've discovered since we spoke last, John Wall has the potential to be Kobe-like on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, let that soak in for a second.
Okay.
Not this year, not last year, but, you know, 2 years ago when they were still considered a serious contender off the heels of losing Shaq, Kobe Bryant was arguably the best on-ball defender in the league. So you take a 6'4 guard who, as you pointed out yesterday, may not be done growing. So he fits the build of guarding two guards or the most offensive guard on the floor and being an outright shutdown defender. Combining that with court vision, speed and quickness, the ability to dribble the ball with the best of them, a decent mid-range shot, an above-average outside shot, and an absolutely filthy finisher around the basket, you're really talking about what could potentially be one of the best guards in the NBA when that time comes, and you and I agree that that'll probably be next year. Now, with all of that, and again, I'm trying not to oversell this too much.
No, you don't want to
do
that.
He is the best player in college basketball, period. As a freshman who's prone to turnovers, who's only had one game thus far where he really broke out, he's the best player in college basketball. He will be Blake Griffin from last year. There will be no question who is the Naismith Award winner, who's going to be the number one pick, and I don't even care who that team is. He is that good. And in a league now where the drafting weight is more applied to potential than established exploits, there's no doubt he's going to get taken number one overall. And when you look at the rookies this year thus far early in the NBA season, with the play of guys like Brandon Jennings and Tariq Evans, he will be that much and more as a rookie with only 1 year of college experience. I think the kid's filthy. And another thought, just to throw it in there, as we're talking about various players he somewhat compares to. And not so much now, because I know people are kind of critical about the guy with his second stint in Philadelphia now. But the quickness reminds me a lot of Allen Iverson, where he doesn't have to have multiple moves. He has that one crossover that breaks ankles, and then it's a beeline to the basket, 0-60 in nothing flat. There is really no glaring weakness in his game as an all-purpose guard. And what makes it even better is you can put him on a team and have him be the point guard, the orchestrator of the offense, the guy the plays have to run through but don't have to finish with.
I tell you what, Jason, man.
LeBron James, I think he's probably the most easy, quick bet for success coming into next year's draft.
I Jason, this is the first time I heard about this guy, John Wall, and I've been watching these videos. I've seen him dunk on Stackhouse, man. And I went to St. V, and I was blessed with 2 years to see LeBron James play, like, at the high school level. And, man, this guy can ball, man.
However, I will say, yeah, though, not all of us are so impressed to this level with John Wall. And by process of elimination, I've already said I don't disagree with you. The comments from Mike here, who does that leave? That leaves somebody who's been taking notes on the other side of the glass and has got some thoughts. Take it away, Ryan.
Okay, well, while you were talking, I called Springfield to make sure they had his spot in the Hall of Fame ready, because you've compared him to Iverson, Paul, Kemp, Kobe, and a little bit to LeBron. Let me preface all of this by saying, I'm not saying that John Wall isn't the next great thing. He's not the next, you know, big-time player in the NBA or in college. The problem I have, and it's not just, you know, Jason, it's not against you. It's the sensationalization that we live, the world that we live in now, sensationalization where this kid has played one game against a competitive basketball team. They played UNC the last game. Before that, they played Miami of Ohio, Sam Houston, Rider, Cleveland State, Stanford, and UNC Asheville. So they really haven't even played anybody yet. And to compare somebody in high school to anything anymore is a joke, because these guys are absolute men among boys in high school. If you're that good in high school, nobody's going to stop you. And you know, Mike can attest to this. He saw LeBron in high school. Nobody was stopping LeBron James in high school. Nobody was going to stop John Wall in high school. I just wish that we would give these guys a chance to grow up and mature and actually do something to prove on the floor against good competition. And I told Rick before we went into this segment that I was watching a game the other day, and I was like, oh my God, he's the basketball version of Tim Tebow. He walks on water, and the announcers are already having their lips all over his butt. It's absolutely ridiculous that this kid has played, what, seven games of his college first year in college, and all of a sudden we've got him enshrined in Springfield.
Well, let me just step back a second. LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Kevin Garnett, Dwight Howard, Amari Stoudemire. Every last one of those guys was men among boys. We all looked at them at high school because that was the level of comparison you had to go on. And I understand the idea, because I remember having a conversation on the air where somebody was saying the same things about LeBron. And I was watching him in high school as well. And I remember saying, you know, I saw him in a state playoff game, and he dunked on this poor kid that was maybe 5'6". And looked like he didn't even have enough coordination to sign his own name. But if you watch these clips, whoever it is, and imagine that there's no players on the floor at all. Just imagine that they're all by themselves. Then you're comparing their athleticism, their jump shot, whatever, against each other. I'm not comparing John Wall to the poor little tuba player from the marching band that he just dunked on. I'm comparing what I'm seeing of John Wall against what I saw against LeBron James and Dwight Howard and so on and so forth, because that's what we had to go on. And to this point, a lot of those projections have panned out. In addition to that, there are just physical ability, talent, skills, that it doesn't matter who he plays against. And if you watched I believe it was UNC Charlotte, whoever it was that where he hit the game-winning shot, you can see it. It's not always a comparative issue against other talented players or teams. The game of basketball, it works like that. You can just see what they do by themselves and tell how good or not they're going to be. Now, also, as we're talking about this, it's not like we can say this about 30 players in every NBA draft. There's generally one or two players that get this kind of billing.
If that.
Is he going to the Hall of Fame? Hell if I know. He could turn out to be the next, Stephon Marbury for all I know. But right now, the kid is as talented a player as there is in college basketball. we'll have to watch the regular season to see how that pans out. But even if he has a terrible season, he's still the best player in the draft.
But for every Kobe, for every LeBron, we look at guys like Darius Miles who came out. We look at guys like Sebastian Telfair who had all the hype coming out. Jonathan Bender, Jermaine O'Neal. We give these guys and we prop them up so fast. And it really, really, really started with Felipe Lopez. If you remember Felipe Lopez being on the cover of Sports Illustrated as a freshman at St. John's before he even took the floor.
Mid-90s.
We hyped the daylights out of this kid. And where's he been? Nowhere. So there's so many guys. It's so early to project. And like I said, I'm not going to come out and say, I don't think John Wall's a great player. Yeah, from what I've seen, John Wall is a fantastic talent. But Sebastian Telfair has the talent too. So just because the guy has the talent doesn't mean that he is the next one. And I think I just kind of get so frustrated anymore with as soon as a guy has a good game, or, you know, we see these YouTube clips of him, immediately he becomes the next big thing, and we put all this hype on this kid's shoulders. There's no saying he's not going to be a bust, but I it gets so irritating after a while to hear everybody jump on this guy's jock.
I understand that we are a sensational crowd in general. I can give you another one. Darius Washington went to Memphis for a year, missed two free throws that could have sent them to a national championship game. Look, guys like that, the Darius Washingtons, the Felipe Lopez, whatever, those guys are very good for what they are. Two of the guards you mentioned are 5'11", 6 foot at best. So even as we sensationalize them and put them up on a pedestal of some degree, they still are within realm of being a very good prospect. Maybe they go to a couple All-Star games, and maybe if luck strikes, they find their way through the back door of the Hall of Fame. But John Wall and all these other players that were mentioned that have panned out, the bigger names I mentioned, they're in a category all to themselves. Even when Felipe Lopez came out, we said, wow, that guy's really, really good, but he's in a class of 5 to 10 other guys that are really, really good. We'll have to see what happens. John Wall is in that category with the other big names where it's not if or maybe he does well. This kid is going to be sick unless he gets into drug problems or unless he's got some sort of a hothead or he gets kicked out of college or whatever. It's going to take a lot for this kid not to be great. Is it all time great? I don't know. But talent-wise, in a vacuum, the skills he has, he is in that discussion of some of the best players to get drafted in the last 10 years.
And like I said, I just want to see a little bit more against more competition before I'm really ready to make a decision on who John Wall really is. Like I said, I've seen him play. I think he does have a tremendous amount of talent. I would never come on here and say that John Wall is a terrible basketball player. You know, I'm not stupid. I have a little bit of sense. Sometimes I don't show it that much, but I do have some sense. I think John Wall's a fantastic talent. I just think we need to kind of step back because even Kobe, even Kevin Garnett, those guys took time before they became the big superstars that they are. It took them each a couple of years into the NBA before they became budding superstars.
Part of it is, too, I think it's a little bit of a visceral thing here, and I will say this because, you know, I don't necessarily – yeah, I express a lot of stuff, I think, pretty well. But one of the things where I think not as well as Jason on this is – and this is one of the reasons I wanted to talk about John Wall and kind of spotlight this tonight. Jason does a very good job – better than most people, I think, of communicating the passion on stuff, of when he, as a sports fan, sees something and it reminds him of these elements of different players and everything like that. He does a great job of communicating that. And I'm going to paraphrase from something that he'd said. I'm probably paraphrasing badly, but the sports equivalent, Jason, I know you've said previously sometimes, don't take us literally here, the sports equivalent of like getting a Woody while you're watching something, or Stiffy, I think you said. You could have said Chubb, you could have said any number of words. But anyways, regardless of what you want to call it, that's what that instilled. I mean, the thrill of watching, I mean, when Jason and I were talking on the phone watching this last night, it just... as a sports fan, you just get this coursing through your veins like, holy crap, did I just see that? And Jason's telling me, like, go to the 35-second mark of this video. And, you know, it's just, Jason, there are just guys like that, and I don't think there's that many of them. There's guys like that that just grab you by the lapels and shake you like he does.
Yeah, and you know, some of that comes to, we've seen a lot of things. You know, and if we look at some of the players that have come out recently, like Blake Griffin, like Derrick Rose, you see a couple things. You know, you see one or two or three things, you go, ah, that's really good, but I've seen it before. It's rare when you see one person exhibit all of them, which I think is why we all fell in love with LeBron James so quickly, was we weren't used to seeing a guy that was, you know, back then, what, 230, 240 at 6'8" that could handle the ball well enough that people thought that he should play point guard in the beginning. That's kind of what that comes from. And with this kid, again, you know, everything's sort of within context. From what I have seen, even when he was playing in these few college games, albeit against less than optimal competition, there's just something there. You know, football, we talk about moxie and the it factor. And it does seem, in a vacuum, like maybe he has it. And the ability to do all these things and so well. And you'll recall last night, one of the big issues that I had, the one thing I couldn't get over is point guards, no matter how big or small they are, look at Derrick Rose, he's a good 1.5, 2 inches taller than John Wall. Point guards just aren't bred with the mentality of blocking shots. They'll get them from time to time, but they just don't really think about it that much. And this guy, when he blocks shots, he's not tipping them. He's not misdirecting the shot. He is planting Spalding across the forehead of the offensive player. I mean, he blocks shots like Dwight Howard does, just not on the frequency. And that was somewhat impressive. But, yeah, there's something to be said for when you see these guys. And I think that's one of the other big points I want to make here is a lot of these players we talk about, especially at his position, that come along, you know, even Sebastian Telfair, who really, I have to agree, was probably the bigger media hype thing in recent memory. You still watch him and go, wow, that was pretty slick. But you don't have to pick your jaw off the floor. And there are moments with John, there's one move that I pointed out to you where he went kind of hard and shallow to the left, back right, then back left again. At that point, he had already shaken the guy. And then when the ball came back around, it went the wrong direction through his legs. And it looked like he put English on the ball, which is impressive all by itself. Now, those sound like, you know, N1 mixtape things, but if he can apply it to Kentucky, maybe we can make a more concrete evaluation about right. it. And one other thing I just want to add, just from my own personal perspective, we as a people, a sports fan populace, we definitely jump off the deep end more often than not. And I just want to point out that I think that's the fun in it. I like to get really sucked into just today, you know, I got it today, I said, I got to make sure the TiVo's set, because I'm not missing this game, because John Wall is awesome. Now, I could watch this game tonight and be let down. That's fine. But it's kind of like if you're too reserved, you don't enjoy the ride, at least from my perspective.
Right.